As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to the Andy Fry Show. Thanks for being with us here on 97.1 FM Talk here in St. Louis. We've got Ethan in. You don't have to get on the microphone. He's still working. He's always working. He's usually just in the background working. Ryan Wiggins took the day off to go to Chicago for his like favorite band from another country was in Chicago.
I don't even think it was the whole band.
I don't understand. And then he sent a text message. But did he get called on stage last
Apparently.
Night? Apparently. I literally didn't understand the message that he sent. He's like, guess who got called on stage to reenact something weird? I don't know. So we're going to find out tomorrow when he's
back.
What
kind of concert was this?
I don't know. He drove a long way to do it, though. He was going to drive there and drive back in the same day. But he stayed with a buddy, so he'll be back tomorrow.
Gotcha.
So, in the ranking of what's the most important in Ryan Wiggins' life, this band that we can't remember the name of, they might be huge, just because I don't know a band's name. You all know this by now. There's a lot going on the show today. We're excited to have you here. Charles Gasparino is going to be back with us. He is the Fox Business senior correspondent. We're going to talk tariffs with him. Is that right?
Tariffs and delisting Chinese companies from the market.
So, I have a New York Post article right here. Paul Atkins, President Trump's nominee as the new chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, it's not a conference, faced a key question just as he was to be grilled during his confirmation this past week. Would the longtime securities lawyer and regulator investigate Chinese companies for what one senator believes are wanton and blatant violations of U.S. disclosure laws that have gone unchecked for years? Well, we're going to ask Charles Gasparino about this. I imagine it would be highly consequential if that were to take place. And we get experts on here to talk about things that we are not experts on, which is most stuff. However, our YouTube live chat poll for today, of which I would say, I don't know if you can be an expert in this, but we all have a strong opinion on Easter. Easter is coming up, of course. Today is, well, I don't know. Do you guys recognize today as Maundy Thursday? Is that part of anything for you guys?
Holy Thursday.
You call it Holy Thursday?
Yeah, I guess Holy Thursday.
But tomorrow is?
Good Friday.
Tomorrow's Good Friday,
Good Friday. Mm-hmm. Then Do we have a name for something on, like,
I don't think
Saturday?
There's anything for Saturday.
There's always, like, an Easter Vigil.
Holy Week timeline.
I think it depends
Holy
on
Wednesday,
the
Wednesday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday.
It seems kind of lazy.
It says Holy Saturday.
Of course it
on
is.
AI Overview, according to Google. It's a lot of holy going on this week.
Yeah, let's go to Google to find out what the names of the Holy Week is. And then you know what they came up with? Holy Wednesday, Holy Thursday. But you said that's in your church.
Yeah,
which is a Baptist-based, non-denominational
church.
I'm Lutheran, as if you've listened for a while, you probably understand that. And yes, as a Lutheran, I'm going to tell you, I'm an LCMS Lutheran, not the ELCA Lutherans. It is quite a bit different, but it is Holy Week. It's interesting to look at the news right now and see a lot of times Holy Week coincides with spring break. So my kids are home, my husband, who's a teacher, is home, but a lot of people are taking off right now. We will be here, and tomorrow will be Good Friday. So the question for our YouTube poll today is, do you celebrate Easter? I think Easter is an interesting holiday because, for me, it's the resurrection of Jesus, which is the highest of high days in church. If you grow up, like, everything revolves around, of course, Good Friday, but ultimately Easter, which is when Jesus rises from the dead. I don't, like, Christmas, to me, I understand a religious, the birth of Christ, big deal. But I also understand secularly, if you take the birth of Christ, the religious part out of it, there's still a lot left of Christmas for people to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, if the Easter Bunny visits your house and lays eggs everywhere, I mean, I need to go into the details here.
He did what in his cup?
Yeah.
That reminds me of.
If the Easter Bunny is there and laying Easter eggs at your house, and that's the extent of what Easter is for you, get an Easter basket full of your favorite goodies and that type of stuff. Okay, I get that. I wonder how many people actually celebrate Easter as a secular holiday versus just not really celebrating it at all. Like, when it's, what's another holiday? I mean, I think Memorial Day is an example of a holiday that people celebrate a lot of, but don't actually sit there and think of the purpose behind Memorial Day, which is a very heavy, there's a lot of gravity to the idea of Memorial Day, thinking about the ability to live in this free country and that it cost an awful lot to be able to do that. If you're remembering those who were lost fighting to protect our freedom, if you stop on the day where you're laying in the pool on the floaty and the barbecue grill's going, you got a beer in your hand or a margarita or something, when you stop to think about that, I think that's important. You have to have both. I don't really understand, because I've always been on the religious side of Easter, I don't really understand the going all out for the secular side of Easter. Do you know what I'm saying?
I completely know what you're saying. And I think that, and I like the comparison between Christmas and Easter, because you can, I think you take out the birth of Christ out of Christmas, and like you said, you see the different aspects of Christmas that are still good in the secular sense. And, you know, you have the whole Santa Claus thing, but there could still be like good aspects and even like positive family, family
it's
built
a season
aspect, right? Yeah. So like, what is the heart behind Christmas? It's all about giving, right? Rather than receiving. Easter doesn't really have that. It feels like the Easter holiday was, the secular part of it was there specifically so that the people that don't necessarily follow Christianity,
they'd have,
like,
something?
Have something too. That's what it feels like to me.
To me, it feels more like if you wanted to rip the religious part out of it, that it would be more about spring.
Mm-hmm.
Like green grass. Hooray.
Right.
Which is exciting. Not as exciting as your eternal life, but. So yeah. I'm just going to say, I'm just going to guess that everybody in here celebrates Easter as a religious holiday.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our options on the YouTube poll for today is, do you celebrate Easter? Of course, we have yes and no, but the yes is broken down into two options. Yes is a religious holiday. Yes is a secular holiday. And then, of course, no. And I'd be interested to hear people's thoughts, because different people, I think all three of us in here would certainly say, and we have, yes, it's a religious holiday, but it might be celebrated differently among the three of us. So there's a lot of room for variance in these answers. But did you hunt Easter eggs as a kid?
As a kid, yes, I did. But it was very, I guess I would say it was very made clear, I guess, by my parents that that was not the point of it.
Yeah.
Right? That it was an excuse to have the candy, to get a few coins.
Were they dyed Easter eggs that you set out for the Easter Bunny to pick up, like actual eggs, or were they plastic?
We had plastic eggs during our Easter egg hunts that we would do after church on Sundays, but we would dye eggs usually on Friday or Saturday on that weekend prior at some point. And I was the only one in my family that wouldn't eat them. So
do you eat hard boiled eggs now?
No, I think they're disgusting.
Oh, you're missing out. What about you, Brad? Did you hunt Easter eggs as a kid?
Yeah, I didn't grow up in a religious family household. It was more of a Christmas and Easter Catholic household that I grew up in. And every Easter we would get together with my other family member, my mom's side of the family, and we would go hunt Easter eggs at their house and that sort of thing. So, yeah, we did the whole like secular gamut of Easter. But it was always, we would go to church on Easter morning and all that other fun stuff. But yeah, there was no stigma around hunting Easter eggs or anything like that whenever I was growing up. And we did both plastic and the hard-boiled dyed eggs.
Did you ever have plastic Easter? You said you did have plastic?
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever have money in them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good days.
Usually, usually...
Mom and Dad, you can still do that for your kids. I'm just telling you right now. I don't care if they're 40.
Few different... Oh, yeah.
I will hunt eggs for dollars.
I think last year, my now wife's grandparents gave me like... I think they gave me an Easter egg with like $50 in or something.
Whoa.
Like, man, I like Easter.
Heck, this is, yeah.
This is a great holiday. I like the secular part, too.
When I was... There was like no rhyme or... Like, these weren't Brad's eggs and these weren't my brother's eggs or anything like that. It was just whichever ones you found.
Uh-huh.
I always ended up with one with like a buck or something. Like, my brother rolled out there with like three $10 bills or something like that. Come out of Easter.
So now at my... Actually, at both grandparents' house for my kids... They will say like, okay, the pink eggs belong to Molly and the blue eggs belong to Charlie, and they will have money in them and candy.
Good.
But that way you go out and you're not like my 15-year-old son's not out there mowing down
suckers.
His cousins.
Get out of the way!
Crushing
stiff arm. Because he would. I'm telling you what. I'm sorry, Charlie, but he'd probably be looking for the candy more than the money. But you just kind of organize it that way so everybody can go out mm-hmm. and disperse.
Do you guys hide them, or does the Easter Bunny hide them?
Easter Bunny.
Okay.
Yeah. I think. I don't know. I've never hid eggs.
Interesting. I don't know what I'll do as a parent. I don't know if I'll roll with the whole Easter Bunny
thing. Well, you just got to let the Easter Bunny decide.
I guess so.
That's right.
We have a young demographic here at 97.1.
We certainly do on Easter, on Holy Thursday.
Holy Thursday.
You got to let the Easter Bunny make those decisions.
Okay, fair enough.
We're going to speak with Tyrus at 1 o'clock, and we also have Will Chamberlain coming in or on this show. He's going to join us via Zoom at 1:25. I'm going to talk to Will Chamberlain about... the Letitia James stuff, right?
Yep.
That he's been posting a lot about that. Letitia James in New York. Do I have that video? I have that video, don't I?
Yes.
Okay. So Letitia James is the attorney general who could like campaigned on the idea of getting Trump and said many times that she was like that was the intention of her being the attorney general. If she, should she win, that this is what she was going to go on and do. And she did it. And when she was so confident in the way that she said, like when she was pushing against Donald Trump and levying this, what was it? Fraud? What kind of fraud was it? Was it mortgage fraud? Because that's the irony of irony.
It was a form of it. It was because falsifying documents on the values of houses are properties to get loans. So, I mean, that's
for Trump?
Yeah.
And for her. It's
and
the
for
same
her.
Thing. I mean, when you understand what Letitia James did, and we're going to get the legal expert reaction to this with Will at 1:25. What Letitia James did, part of it said that she was married to her father
mm-hmm.
on a document.
That was a really, really old one.
It doesn't really matter.
Right.
That is weird. But on top of that, she also has a primary residence listed in Virginia. And you can't have your primary residence in Virginia if you're the attorney general for the state of New York. You just can't do that. Now, I feel like I'm a little torn because some of this seems a little petty. But then I'm like, all right, Letitia, you make the rules. We're going to play by your rules. If this is what you did and then you went after Donald Trump, I mean, this is FAFO in spades. Listen to her now after the Trump DOJ has levied charges against her for mortgage fraud. If you're watching us, you're going to be able to see her reactions, but listen to the energy in her voice.
My mission is clear. I'm focused. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I've been trained by the best. I went to Howard University that overturned legal segregation in this country. I've been taught in those classrooms where Thurgood Marshall once taught. I'm not afraid of no president. Donald Trump, we're ready for you. We're coming for you. We're standing up for you. We're fighting on. We're not going down silent. Victory, my friends, is clear. It's now. And I'm not waiting 4 years. I'm waiting two until a speaker by the name of Hakeem Jeffries comes to bring us some rest. Come on, ladies. It's up to us. We saved this democracy before. We'll save it now.
I think she's cooked.
You motivated? I'm motivated. Who wants to run with, run through a brick wall with me? Let's do it. Come on.
I don't. I don't want to run through a big brick wall
for yourself.
She's really shifty in the way she's moving, the physical movements. She's either geared up, and like that energy to me doesn't scream confidence. It screams, oh crap. But we'll see. We shall see. Like I said, she laid the rules out for how this is played in New York, and if she didn't follow the rules, I don't really care if the Donald Trump administration, if it's petty. I think Trump is super petty. And if she broke the law, maybe she just has to pay the consequences.
What goes around comes around. I feel that's exactly what this is it not?
Yeah. So, I taught my daughters, well, my oldest daughter, my youngest will get there. Karma's only a witch if you are, except for it's a little different than that. It's one of my favorite phrases.
A witch.
I don't believe karma as a religious
sure
philosophy, but it's kind of true. Karma's only a witch if you are. Let's take a quick break. Charles Gasparino is going to be with us when we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about this possibility that China might have some SEC concerns on their hands here in the United States. Getting the experts on with us. Fox Business senior correspondent, New York Post columnist, of course. Charles Gasparino next on The Annie Fry Show.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaks volumes about the number of countries we have seen come to the table reaching out to this administration to cut deals. It's because the entire world knows they need to do business with the United States of America. And China knows that too, Sean. And as President Trump directed me to say yesterday, it remains true tonight. The ball is in China's court. They need to do business with the United States. They need the best thing on the face of the planet, and that is the American consumer. And we are the best place in the world to do business. The rest of the world knows that, and that's why Japan was here today to negotiate a trade deal.
So we are watching President Trump and the implementation of his tariffs and the great negotiation, the art of the deal, of course, as he literally wrote the book on it, trying to figure out how we're going to negotiate with all of these countries. And we see Donald Trump engaging aggressively with these countries who have come to the negotiating table and then fiercely push back on those who chose to retaliate. I think the biggest one, of course, is China. That's the big key to all of this. How is the president going to get a favorable outcome with the implementation of tariffs on China? Their reactions. Coming to us today to get an expert on this is Fox Business senior correspondent and, of course, New York Post columnist Charles Gasparino. Charles, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm reading through this article that you have featured, if people want to read in depth on what you've put together in the New York Post, about the possible delisting of these Chinese companies. You have written here that nearly 300 Chinese companies represent more than $1 trillion in the market value, trade on U.S. markets, namely the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ Composite. Can you talk to us a little bit about this reaction of what this would mean with this potential delisting?
Well, I mean, it's just another tool in the trade war, I guess, so to speak. You know, what the people pushing the delistings will say, and that's Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, the senator, Rick Scott of Florida, is that this goes beyond, just part of the trade war. This is literally these companies not fully disclosing their ties to China, the sort of details of those ties. So remember what they're saying. I'm not saying it's the case. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? There are disclosures in a lot of these companies about this DCP and its influence. But, you know, that's at least what these companies are saying and these congressmen are saying. And, you know, the other thing I think they would say, and this is kind of interesting, is like, okay, even if they do disclose it, why is that, you know, so good? You know, this is, do we want this? I mean, is this something that you want in the, you know, is this something that we want to finance? You know, because you are financing China Inc. We're giving them access to the, to our capital markets. These companies are, you know, under the sort of thumb of the Chinese Communist Party. There's no doubt about that. You know, should we be doing it anyway, even if they do disclose every single last bit of it? So that's kind of where we are right now. And Paul Atkins assured Rick Scott that he will look at this stuff.
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, from where I sit as a very novice, grateful that I have opportunity to speak to experts like you on these, the economics of all of this. What President Trump is doing is transformational. It's like a resetting of the foundation of our economic system. And when we had you on last, Charles, it was like either the day before or the day of the tariff implementation, Liberation Day, as the president calls it. And you were very cautious about being, you know, super pro-tariff and concerned about what would happen. Hopeful that maybe Donald Trump is, of course, successful in his endeavor because the alternative is not going to be great for the country. How do you feel this far into the implementation of it? Do you see that the president is having some success?
You know, I think he will. I think he will have some success. I don't know. Enough right now where we are. I think you can make a very strong point that, you know, this is a very complicated subject, right? I mean, obviously, right? I mean, we're talking about, you know, upending a huge chunk of the economy that has been going a certain way for years. And now we're taking it and just doing a wicked left turn on it. So that's going to cause a lot of indigestion. I think, I'm not saying it wasn't needed because, you know, it would be nice to manufacture more stuff here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when we had COVID, we had to go to China for masks. I mean, that's kind of crazy, you know? The country that gave us COVID, we had to beg them for masks.
Yeah.
So I will say that's kind of not what you want. My point is that, so he's on firm ground with his argument. Now, the approach is where this thing gets interesting. And, you know, could we have done this differently? Could we have waited until we have the tax cuts through, the economy humming? You know, you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because this really is a wicked left turn. I mean, this is like, whoa.
Yeah, when it comes to transformational economic policies, of course, the tariff plan is a huge thing, but also the tax cuts being made permanent that you have to get through Congress, huge thing. And then also DOGE and everything that Elon Musk is looking to find and claw back and cost cutting, huge. You got these three massive economic changes in direction, forks in the road, so to speak. And it's, you got to juggle a lot of it. I've heard people say that the reason to do the tariff thing so quickly is that, as you said, manufacturing needs to come back to the United States. And in order to actually, you know, he's got to negotiate these deals. But the case that was made to me as I'm sitting here watching Fox Business at home and trying to learn as much as I can was that the sooner that you implement deals based on these tariffs, the sooner the ball starts rolling on manufacturing back in the country. You can't snap your fingers and, oh, there's a factory and a whole bunch of jobs and we're you know, making widgets here. Is that part of the reason why the president prioritized this so early in his presidency in the second term, is so that we can see some manufacturing before he's done?
I mean, I'm sure that's the reason. The question is, was it the right reason? You know, I still question whether we needed to go there so soon, mm-hmm. given everything else that we needed to do. You know, it seemed to me that, you know, he had a lot on his plate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Might have been. And by the way, getting the economy moving at 3% growth and cutting debt will bring a lot of jobs, will create a lot of jobs. I mean, I think the the notion that we're not creating enough jobs is kind of like is not right. I mean, getting the economy going will create jobs, and I think we, you know, some of this could take care of itself, and it puts you in a better bargaining position when you're bargaining from strength. You see what I'm saying?
So sure.
I do think that, you know, that this is going to be, listen, this isn't just me. This is going to be debated like ad nauseum over the next year. And particularly if these trade deals don't get done fast.
Yeah. We're speaking with Charles Gasparino, the Fox Business senior correspondent, a New York Post columnist. You can read his article on the SEC actions against these Chinese companies. You know, you highlighted here that it's complicated. And I'll tell you this, when it comes to preparing to do an interview, I have to study more on these tariff conversations and the economic conversations than I do on other things, because they're so complicated that I'm trying to make sure that I can ask intelligent questions so that go ahead.
It's hard. Where to begin and where to end, because there's tariffs upon tariffs upon, you know, there's a baseline tariff and then there's extra tariffs and then there's possibly some exemptions. So it's hard to know really where to go with this.
Well, and you know, the thing that I find from where I sit just outside of it and having access to people like you, but also access to people who are pundits, who are political pundits, the more complicated any topic is, foreign policy can very much be the same thing. The more complicated it is, the more room politics has to come in and kind of take over. And you stop talking about policies and like the things that are actually happening, and it just becomes more red versus blue or my guy versus your guy. What is it that you want the novice out there watching their 401k, watching the stock market, very concerned about their own personal position in all of this? What is it that you really want those people to know that might be getting swept up in the politics of the matter?
Well, that, you know, there is no right or wrong answer here. Let me back off. President Trump was on really strong grounds, demanding that the country get fair trade deals. There is no doubt about that. We've been getting screwed for years. China is, I mean, you know, it's a very aggressive, some would say exploitative country when it comes to trade and many other things. So, you know, he's on strong ground. You know, this is not. He's not making this up, just so you know. Mm-hmm. The Democrats make you think he's making it up. Now, there is also a theory that maybe he should have waited. You know, maybe this was not the right time to do it. And I think, you know, that I think is a more nuanced view of this, that he could have, you know, this could have been saved, you know, for another time. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And we'll have to watch and see if Trump was right on that, and the possibility that he was wrong exists. I think that's where I want to make sure that I'm always being an honest broker with people who are listening to the show. Is like, we have to take the facts for what they are and wait and see what happens. I've heard people suggest as well, this is just, you know, theories that I'm finding. I'm interested in your opinion on it, that if the president is to tank the economy to some extent intentionally, maybe that there's an opportunity to refinance some debt that would be beneficial. Maybe it causes rates to come down and that's beneficial for Main Street. Is there any value to that thought process?
Well, if we can get the debt down, it would be great. But it's hard to get the debt down when your economy's not growing. And, you know, there's going to be some impact on the tariffs. It's going to hurt the economy. Now, whether you think it's going to bring back jobs in a couple of years, there's going to be an economic impact. I mean, you're already seeing it. So remember, that's where this thing gets very, very tricky. And in terms of the markets, if you're talking about purely as a small investor, markets generally hate this stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like predictability is what the market thrives in, and this is the opposite.
Yeah, the more this goes on, like in a non sort of with no end, no light at the end of the tunnel, the worse it's going to be. I will say this. I just put it on Twitter. I mean, you should follow my Twitter page because you'll get like up to the minute stuff. That they believe there's substantial progress on the Japanese talk. So, you know, we may have a deal on Japan kind of which would be a good thing. That's a big trading partner.
Yeah. Well, at C. Gasparino on X for people who want to follow you and stay up to minute. I know a lot of people are paying a lot of attention to this. Charles, we thank you for your insight. We look forward to having you back because we like the way that you talk straight on the issues and the matter. It's not political. You're good at that and you're consistent at that. So we're grateful for your time today.
I much appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye. Charles Gasparino there, Fox Business senior correspondent, New York Post columnist as well. You should follow him at X on X at C. Gasparino, two A's in Gasparino, and listen to what he has to say. He's never really been a Trump apologist in any way, shape or form. I appreciate that about him because I think we can all listen with a discerning ear. And I can tell when people are looking at what's going on, there's a lot of people, I'm not speaking for Charles, of course, but there's a lot of people who have a lot of trepidation about what is taking place right now. They're hopeful that Trump is right. They know that something has to shift in the way that we manage our economic system, that it's not tenable the way it is and has been, that we do need something significant to change. The status quo has to change, and Trump is not afraid of that. And it seems to me that folks like Charles and other experts, if they're questioning anything, they're questioning the timing. I think it was Maria Bartiromo that said on one of the Fox News primetime shows, it might have been Laura Ingraham, and she was talking about how he has to do the tariff stuff now because these deals are going to involve negotiations to start manufacturing goods and services here in the United States. And when that happens, you have to start that process early so you can see the benefits of it early. And if you do it and it lays over an election year where potentially the Democrat wins next time, all of this could be for naught. And that's something that Trump is not willing to risk. Let's take a quick break. We've got Wiggins America. What did he say? Younger, smarter and better or something like that. I can't remember what Ethan calls it, but we're going to have Ethan in here and he's got, let me pull this up here. He sent me a message. He's like, I don't know if this is going to be OK. And I was like, I think that sounds like it's absolutely perfect. I found a list of passive-aggressive ways to share your displeasures with someone. That's an idea for Wiggins America. And then he said, if you're not a fan, I can keep looking. I said, big fan. Passive-aggressive ways to share your displeasures with folks. With Ethan Hannaford next.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
You need to... I'm serious about this. Mm-hmm. Put this on our list for when Ryan gets back. Brad, we need Ryan to make an Ethan version of the Wiggins America. And Ryan has free reign.
Oh, see, that's the part that makes me nervous.
I know, but it'll be fun for everybody else.
Yes.
Okay. In true Wiggins fashion, doing something
Ethan...
that will cause me to suffer, but will be for the joy for
you. Unless you want to make an intro...
Wiggins!
There you go.
It's all yours, yeah. Buddy boyo.
You can do what you want with it, but we could just let Ryan do the work for it and get to play while he does it.
All parties would agree that is the best option.
Yeah, we'll just have Ryan create it and give it to Brad, and you can hear it for the first time the next time you fill in.
Okay, sounds like good. It. Would either of you consider yourselves to be passive-aggressive?
Yeah.
Yes?
If I need to be.
Brad?
See, what I did there was not passive-aggressive. No, I was just answering the question.
I don't know that I do passive-aggressive. If things are aggressive, I just do regular aggressive.
I don't think that I am nearly as passive-aggressive as I used to be. I feel like I used to, back when I lived at home, feel like I was way more passive-aggressive with my family than I am now.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm pretty straight up.
I'm going to say that in the things that you did when you were a child, the way you were when you were a child should not be a bird. If you are not that person as an adult, I don't know that the way you were in your nuclear family is who you really are. Does that
sure.
make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think other people might say, no, that's exactly who you really are. But you live with the same people forever and you're growing up as a kid. I was super mouthy. We were all talking about this before. We were all mouthy kids, really, really good angel children outside of the home. Inside of the home.
Demons.
Well,
straight demons.
Your words. My parents might agree. But I mean, just if I saw it differently, I was absolutely going to say so.
Fair enough.
But I think that people spend the rest of their life trying to outrun what childhood was.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were a passive aggressive child to your parents, there's no relationship in your life that's like the one you have with your parents.
Mm-mm.
So you gotta let that go. But you're not passive aggressive now?
I don't think so.
Are you regular aggressive like Brad?
No. No, I guess I do have I do have moments sometimes where like my wife would be like, "You all good?" I'm like, "Yeah, but I'm really not good."
She knows.
Yeah, she usually knows. She'll like look at me and she'll wait. But she does this. I do the same thing with her too. So, but we all know people that are passive aggressive, and some of us even in this room apparently are. And I would argue that most of people, to a certain extent, express either their frustrations or their irritation in passive aggressive ways, on the occasion at least. So I found a list of the most polite sayings or gestures that communicate that you're just not having it. So throughout the, I want to hear you guys' thoughts on these. If you guys have any of your own sayings or go-to gestures, or if you've heard of any of these as well. So this list comes from Reddit. So this is straight from the people. The first one is very direct. Instead of like, if you, I know we've talked about road rage being expressed, Annie, in the past on Wiggins America. The first one, instead of flipping off another driver, blow them a kiss.
Holy cow.
Or give them a thumbs up.
I do zero road rage. I am super post road rage because I've been on the other end literally of a gun from somebody who was engaging in road rage. Mm-hmm. And I just tend to looking straight ahead.
Straight forward.
Yeah. I drive how I drive. I'm not a super aggressive. I drive fast, but I'm not in the business of cutting people off. Like, nobody needs to know something about me because of the way I drive.
Does it, is that the same everywhere, or is it different how you drive in the city or in this area compared to more closer to around home?
No, I'm a big defensive driver in that I'm not being defensive. I'm expecting everybody to run a stoplight, run a stop sign, swerve into my lane.
Sure.
And I don't get in fights with cars. That's stupid. So I just try to be. It's probably the place in my life where I am the most submissive to letting people do what they do.
Brad?
I'm the opposite.
Let's hear it, aggressive man.
No, I, like you said, blow a kiss and, or that. You know what? If I do anything, and it's usually if somebody's like freaking out in the car next to me, I just give them a thumbs down.
Just. Oh my gosh.
Very direct. Bad. Thumbs that's, down. Bad boy. Bad man.
Boo.
That's how you get a gun in your face.
Well, that's the thing, is I feel like how I treat other drivers varies on where I am. In the city,
yeah,
I ain't doing anything. I am.
Because of the repercussions.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because of, I guess, the...
Now, what about when you're in Bethalto?
When I'm in Bethalto or even St. Charles, I'm very like giving glares as I pass by.
What's your go-to word? What's your go-to name to call people? I say Jackwagon. All right, Jackwagon. That's what I say.
I don't think I can say mine on air.
Mine used to not be
Jackwagon.
That might
get me in trouble with Steve or Trisha.
Cars and our kids in the car, and so my word turned into Jackwagon.
Good for you.
Thank you.
You're a better person than me.
What's
I will say
start with?
I've gotten better at this as I've gotten
older. What's it
older.
Start with?
What? D. It's dumb something.
Wagon?
Yeah, wagon.
Dumb wagon.
You dumb butt.
Yes. Yes. That's a good one. That's a good
dumb
that's a
bottom.
Good
one. My mom wouldn't even say butt around us growing up. Okay.
Aw.
The
next
one.
That's why you're so sweet.
No kidding.
That's why. The next one, have the day you deserve. Holy passive aggressive.
That's what you're supposed to say to people?
That's the second one on this list. Have the day you deserve.
See, that's not passive aggressive. That's super aggressive.
No, I feel like that's still like relatively passive aggressive.
Do you ever say that to someone who should have a good day?
No, I wouldn't.
Ethan, have the day you deserve. You deserve a great day.
That's passive aggressive.
The day you deserve.
No, I think you do. If I said it to Ryan, then people would have to interpret. Ryan, have the day you deserve. He would be like very happy to say, okay, I will.
Probably. He wouldn't think twice about it. The next one is noted. If someone is rude or a jerk and sends a long ranting email, it says, replying with a one word answer is the worst because of how dismissive it is.
Yeah, I've probably done that.
Brad?
Have I used noted?
Or just something like that, like just a one word. Like you see that a lot. Like
I like...
My girlfriend sent this super long text, really upset with me, and then I just said, okay.
Okay. Is it worse to have the letters okay or okay, period?
They're the same in my mind, but okay. When you bring out the K, mm-hmm. Oh, then you know you're in trouble.
Just one letter. K? Like I don't just even have time letter. For the O.
Yeah.
Then you know you're in trouble. Something's wrong.
What about the double K, KK? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I say it's a kid thing.
I say KK all the time. But the thing is, it just started within the last 3 months.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Because when I get it, I need to know that.
I think it's just confirmation. I think it's neutral.
Yeah. Okay, so it's neutral. So I shouldn't read into any of that.
I wouldn't. In fact, I've started saying KKD KK as of recent. That's my new one.
You should have the day you deserve, right?
You almost called.
Right.
I've heard plenty, but I've never thought of it in a passive aggressive way. Bless your heart is on the list.
That's the most passive aggressive phrase from the South. Yeah, that basically means, I think it was Scott Pressler was in New Jersey, and they said he asked the New Jerseyans, is that what you call them?
New Joysians.
What? Yeah, exactly. What is your bless your heart? And it, I don't. What do you remember the exact phrase?
Yeah.
What was it?
It was go blank.
Go F yourself.
Really?
That's how New Jersey folks say bless your heart. have people been saying this to you a lot?
Wait, but you said it was a down south thing, but then
bless your heart is a down south thing.
But
Scott
this
Pressler was talking to people in New Jersey, and he's like, "How in New Jersey do you say the phrase bless your heart?" And it was to go
okay, got
yourself.
It. Go F. Wow. Okay, good to know.
Yeah, they don't do passive aggressive out there.
People do say bless your heart to me a lot, so maybe that's I'm gonna have to start viewing that differently. The next one is you've genuinely been wonderful. They know it's an insult because it's over the top, and they obviously haven't been wonderful.
You've genuinely been wonderful?
Mm-hmm. You ever heard that one before?
No.
I haven't either.
Maybe mm-mm. I've never genuinely been wonderful.
Just smile. A McDonald's worker shared this one. Don't respond, just smile and watch their blood boil. I could see that in like a restaurant.
Just reply with, I feel the same about you.
I'll pray for you. You ever use that one in a passive aggressive way?
No, that seems a little sacrilege to me. A
little bit. Be that as it may, let them rant, then hit them with the be that as it may and shut it down. It sounds old school and polite, like you're validating them, but you're really saying, yeah, no. Number 9.
Be that as it may, which is basically like, okay, you said some things. Now here's how it's going to go. Yeah.
Number 9, how amusing for you. It's supposedly something that Queen Elizabeth would say if she thought you were an idiot.
How amusing for you? I've never heard that one.
It's like a simple minds are entertained easily.
And the last one, this one I don't see any passive aggressiveness in. This is pretty straight up, but just has an extra word on top of it. F you, please. Adding please to it. I don't know what's passive aggressive about that.
F or if?
E-F-F. F you, please.
Oh. I was going to say if you, please.
No.
It's the different
It's
angle.
Not actually F.
Yeah. Why would you do...
That doesn't seem passive aggressive at all to me.
You can't say something super
that is so straight up.
Profane and angry and rude and then just say please.
Just say please
the
and then all of a sudden it's okay.
But I said please. It was polite.
Yeah, exactly. So the funny thing about this list is then it had a list of people that you're likely to use some of these with. So I quickly want to go through a couple of these. The Jiffy Lube guy listing all the extra services that your car needs. Whoever put the new razor in that impossible to open blister packaging.
Yeah.
The construction crew we see eating lunch after we spent an hour in traffic because they shut down a lane. Ooh, that one gets me going.
You give them a thumbs down while you drive by.
Boo! Eat your lunch, get back to work.
Anyone with a clipboard outside of your front door. Parents who bring their newborn to a movie, that's a bad one. Why would you do that?
I brought a newborn to a movie.
Why'd you do that, Annie?
I think it was Inside Out.
Baby doesn't understand the movie.
I know, but I didn't want to pay a babysitter while I was paying $100 to take my other kids to the... I mean, she slept through the whole thing. Nobody would have known she was there. The problem is the baby that won't stop crying and disrupting. Then you have to do something differently.
The person on the elevator who lets the doors close even though they saw us coming. That might be the worst of all of them.
Oh my You just
can give them a thumbs down as they as we watch them close.
F you, please.
Yeah, exactly. I love all the suggestions in the YouTube chat of other passive aggressive things that we can put into practice here on the Annie Fry Show. Tyrus will be with us next. In no connected nature there. And also, we're going to speak with Will Chamberlain in the 1 o'clock hour. Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Do you celebrate Easter? We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.